tradition at this church. I don't know if you know how blessed I am to get to do this, but I am so, so blessed to get to have this job. And Sunday, we actually got to go out. We postponed our riding on the floor three separate times. So we actually got to go out this past Sunday during the service, and we rode on the floor, and it was just good. It was building our foundation for our new room, and I know I've talked about this a lot, but it was really just a blessing for me. Even after I'd written down what I wanted to write on the floor, I just walked around and I read what each and every individual student had written. Some of them had put names on it, some of them didn't, but the diversity and complexity and the spirit that each one used while doing it, I walked around and it just brought tears to my eyes, and we prayed over our new room, and I'm really just soaking up the moments that God has given me right now in this position, because I don't know where God's going to lead me in the future, but I know that for right now I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, and that's an awesome thing to be in God whenever you know that you're exactly where you're supposed to be. If you want to be opening your Bible, I'm going to flip around just a little bit tonight, not a whole lot, but Psalms 23 is where I'm going to start, and then we'll kind of go from there. But Psalms 23, and this is a well-known set of scriptures. A lot of you are going to know it. A lot of you are going to be able to quote it. I remember being a kid at a young age. This is one of the scriptures. Dad was like, hey, you really need to be able to know this scripture. And I remember reading it and going over it. It's a good, solid scripture to have. And I'm just going to open up with reading it. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. And You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Most High all the days of my life." I really love this set of scriptures. And if I'm going to be completely honest tonight, I think I know where I'm going, but I'm not 100% certain. But if you'll just allow me the privilege of following the leadership of the Holy Spirit tonight, I'm going to do so. And just a few brief moments this afternoon, if you'll just let me do my thing and let God do His thing, I think we will end up somewhere great by the end. Lord God, I just praise You, and I thank You so much for the opportunity to get to spread Your word once again, God. I pray that You'll open our eyes and open our ears, God, not just physically, but spiritually, and God, that You'll let this message come and resonate with us, God, that it won't just be a moment in time, but God, this will start a movement in our life, God. I pray that whenever we leave this place, we'll have a new revelation or realization of who You are and what You've done in our lives and what You're going to continue to do, God. I pray that You'll just take this next few moments, and God, You not let this be my show, but God, let it be all about You. And God, I pray that You'll just let Your Holy Spirit, God, rest on me and rest in me. God, use me, open me up, and let me just be a vessel that can be used, Lord, willingly for You tonight. It's all these things I ask, and I pray in Your holy name. Amen. So, Tasha hates when I do this. She hates whenever I tell why I'm preaching the message that I preach that night. She just says, "I don't really know why you do that. Just preach your message. People don't need to know why you're preaching the message you're preaching." But I'm going to do it anyways, because this is my sermon. I can do this. So rewind. A few weeks ago, we go to Ford. This is, I don't know, three weeks ago. I don't even remember. The end of June, we went to Ford Conference. And I don't know if any of y'all have ever spoken or preached or taught or whatever the case, but God, I always thought, and I'm just going to ramble, I always thought growing up that like pastors and preachers just had like this like straight line, like a red phone that just goes straight to God. Like they're sitting at their desk, they're getting ready to preach their sermon. It's just like, yeah, what you want me to preach? And he just gives it to them, and they write it down. They get up and they tell everybody. That's the way I thought being a preacher or a pastor was supposed to be. And as I'm growing older, I've either figured out that I'm not supposed to be a preacher because I don't do that, or that's not really how life works. So I haven't figured out if it's not my calling or if it's not how life works. But, you know, I'm coming to this realization that messages don't just show up. You know, if I just got like an email this morning that like popped up and it's like, hey, Dylan, preach this tonight. And I'd read over it a few times. I'd get up here, I'd read it. Everybody's like, praise God, that was awesome. And then we'd leave all blessed. But I believe anything that I were to say out of this word would be a word. I could get up here and preach out of any scripture, preach any message, and it would be a word. But I believe that to have an anointed word, you have to have a now word. And you have to have a word that comes directly from the throne room. And it's what God has birthed and ordained for this service. And so when I get up and I prepare and I'm getting ready to preach a message, you know, I want God to send me exactly what I'm supposed to have for you tonight. And so, you know, a lot of times my sermons, they come like just easy. You know, I just sit down and I write it out and I'm like, man, that was so awesome, God. Let's write three more while we're here because I might need a backup. And then sometimes I'm just like driving down the road and God gives me one little nugget, and I always keep a little notepad in my truck. And so like I'll just pull over or do this dangerous thing like this. And, you know, sometimes I just get a little nugget and I piece this together and piece that together. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's piece by piece, but normally I normally get a message by the time I get up here. There's been times that I haven't. But about 3 weeks ago, I was sitting at Forward Conference and God just birthed this sermon into my heart. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is so awesome. I don't remember what day it was. I don't remember if it was a morning session, a night session. I don't remember if somebody was preaching. I don't remember if they were singing. They may have been taking up offering. They may have been doing some ridiculous game on stage that I wasn't playing. But either way, God just birthed a sermon into me. And I was like, oh, Lord, this is going to be so, so awesome. And so I was like, this is going to be great. So I get ready and I make myself my little note. And I'm like, this is going to be, I'm going to go back to church. I'm going to preach this. People's going to get so fired up. So we get to tonight, we get studying for tonight. And I'm like, I know I wrote down a sermon. So I'm scrolling through my notes on my phone and I'm looking and I've got like all these little sermons. I'm like, okay, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's not the one I'm looking for. And I finally find the one I'm looking for. And my title, I see it. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Even in the Shadows. Awesome title. Even in the Shadows. And I see Psalms 23 written under it. So I click on it, and that's all that's there. And I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated because this is Monday afternoon. I'd honestly forgotten that this was my night to preach. I'd always preach the third Wednesday night of the month, and I'd forgotten it was my turn to preach. And Matt actually texted me like Wednesday, hey, looking forward to hearing you preach Wednesday night or something of that. You know, hey, brother, praying for you, whatever it was. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's my turn to preach. So I start preparing, and I go and I get out my Bible. You know, this is what I find in my app, and I'm just frustrated. I'm like, God, you gave me such a good message, and now I'm sitting here and I'm trying to write it down, but I don't remember any. I mean, you gave me an opening, you gave me a middle piece, you gave me a closing, like you gave me, you know, like topics and points. And I remember sitting there so vividly in service and I'm frustrated at God. I'm like, God, why aren't you bringing that back to my remembrance now? And I'm frustrated at myself. I'm like, God, why didn't I just take the time to write it down? I was there for 3 days. I mean, surely to goodness, I could have found a moment to write down this sermon that I thought was going to be so good. But I couldn't find it. And so I just kind of took a moment Monday night, and I was sitting at my desk or our table, and I was studying, and Owen was crawling around on top of my head, and I had three or four Bibles laid out and a couple of notebooks and my phone, and I was playing some music, and I just wrote it down, and I was like, even in the shadows. Even in the shadows. And even in the shadows, what? What's even in the shadows, God? Where's even in the shadows? What are you talking? That's like a sentence fragment, and it's part of a scripture, but it's not even the correct order that the scripture's in, and it means absolutely nothing. Just even in the shadows. Why didn't I get a beginning? Why didn't I get an end? Even in the shadows. And all of a sudden, as I'm writing it down, I'm writing it down with even in the shadows, period. Even in the shadows, exclamation point. Even in the shadows. Even in the shadows. And all of a sudden, after all the periods, after all the exclamation points, I hear this still small voice and it just kind of hit me. Suddenly, after writing this over and over 10, 15 times, I'm writing it down and I'm just, God, you've got to give me something. You've got to give me something. And all of a sudden, tears start building up in my eyes. And this little, just a praise covers me. And I write, even in the shadows, I was. Even in the shadows, I am. And even in the shadows, I will be. And there's something about this moment that I had with God, and it was just like He was saying, I was there. Dylan, I was there, even in the shadows, even in the dark places, even in the valleys, even in the storms, even in the trials, no matter where you were, Dylan, I was there. And it's like I had this great epiphany. Not some theological moment. And this is not something that I've not heard before. And it's not something that you've never heard before. But in this moment, sitting in my kitchen the other night, I had this just moment where I had a paradigm shift. And it wasn't some theological thing that was going to change the nature of way the entire world saw the message of the gospel and saw God. It wasn't for everybody else, but it was for me. And it was not... for you. But all of a sudden, I had a moment for myself, a personal in nature moment. It wasn't to change the way the world looked at God. It was to change the way that I looked at God. Scripturally speaking, I can take you throughout the Bible, and I'm not going to, because I could do it for days, hours, weeks. I can show you so many times throughout the Bible, time and time again, of God, you know, moving on the behalf of His children and making a way, literally paving a way through the wilderness as they left Egypt, literally slaying giants, literally shutting the mouths of lions and making fortified walls collapse. I can show you where blinded eyes are opened, where deaf can hear again, where mute men speak. I can show you in our Bible where dead men are raised. I can show you dire and helpless situations time and time again. From Genesis to Revelations, I can show you everything of people who had shadowy moments. I can take you personally through moments in my life where I know that I would have never made it had God not been there moving on my behalf. Though I did not know it then, and though I have to look back now and see His greatness, see His mercy, see His power, when I didn't see it then, God was still there. And it's not like I didn't know He was there. And it's not like all of a sudden, oh, well, our pastor just now figured out something for the first time this week that God was there. That's not what I'm saying. It's just somehow in this moment, it hit me. In all of my failures, in all of my weaknesses, in all of my inadequacies, every time that I fell short, God was there. He wasn't only there to make up for what I had done wrong and to change what I had done or to help me through the situation. He was there and He knows it and He still cares. Everything that I've done, He still cares for me. We were just singing a song just a moment ago, and we were talking about how worthy God is. And I don't know, God, this just may be my week of moments. But for some reason, I've always thought that God was just worthy of being praised because He went to the cross and died for my sins. But He was worthy to go to the cross for my sins. He was the spotless lamb. His worth is not depicted because He did something great to save me from my recklessness, to save me from my sinful ways. His worth is depicted because that's just who He is. I am, I was, I will be. When God introduces Himself to Moses, He says, I am. I am. That's all you need to know. I am. I am that I am. So I began to read my Bible some, and I was like, God, there's got to be a little bit more to this. There's got to be something that I can preach that people are actually going to get and not just look at me like, okay, well, he's a little weird, but that's okay. Because I know I'm a little weird, but I thought, God, there's got to be something. So I started looking throughout my Bible, and somehow, and I know somehow seems strange, but somehow I ended up in Ezekiel 37. And if you want to turn there, we're going to touch on this story a little bit. But the Holy Spirit led me to Ezekiel 37, and this is a vision, a lifelike dream. In Ezekiel, the prophet, the priest of the time, this is around 6 BC, ancient Israel, a long time ago. But he says, the hand of God was on me, and he lifted me up, and he placed me in a valley, and it was full of bones. The Bible says that God led Ezekiel back and forth among the bones, these dry bones, dead things. Not just dead, but so dead that the skin had already rotted off, so dead that the intestines were already gone. This is a valley of dry, sun-bleached bones. And God says to Ezekiel, he says, son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel, being pretty smart, says, well, only you know. That's kind of a trick question. I don't know. But God, you know. You're the maker of the universe. If that's what you want to do, you can do it, but I don't know. So then God says to Ezekiel, he says, prophesy to these dry bones. Prophesy that they grow flesh. Prophesy that they go back to where they're supposed to go. Prophesy over these dead bones. So Ezekiel opens up his mouth and he says, I prophesied and I commanded, saying, you know, go back. You know, make a body, form a body. And it says that there's a rattling. And I imagine in my mind, I really don't know, but I imagine in my mind, you know, the sound like a hunter gets antlers and he... I wish I had a pair of them up here. And I. That's the sound. You know, it's the sound I hear. And all these bones just kind of rattling together. And there's a foot over here that belongs to this guy. And it kind of hobbles over. And you know, like one of the little like Halloween type... I don't know, little videos that you see where like a hand like gets up and crawls around. That's me. That's my brain. I'm sorry. But all these bones, they come and they form together, and then the tendons and the tissues and the guts and the intestines and everything starts forming back together. And now there's just a body, a valley of bodies. And so then he says, I looked at them. I see skin, I see bodies, but they're still dead. There's no breath. There's no life. Sure, you know, a miracle has taken place. You've taken what was dry, dead bone, and you've made a body out of it. You've made something out of it, but it's still just dead. And then again, God says to him, he says, prophesy for breath. So come down and breathe upon these dead bodies. And it says that the four winds blow and there's wind and they come across the slain. And as he prophesies, all of them stand up, breath enters their body, and they become living, vast army. And he says, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. Say to them, our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, and we are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves. I am going to bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and I bring you up out of them, I will put a spirit in you and you will live. I am not in any way, shape, or form going to compare myself to the prophet Ezekiel. I don't intend to. But I don't believe that this message is by mere coincidence. I don't believe, personally, I don't feel like I'm in a valley. Personally, I feel pretty good. You know, I'm not going to say that everything's going my way, but I feel pretty good about myself right now. But for some reason, the past 3 days, my heart has been absolutely broken. Every time I've sat down to read my Bible, every time I've went to study this scripture, I've been able to do nothing. I can't study because all I do is cry. My heart is broken. I've got a burden for the brokenhearted. But my Bible says that God is close to the brokenhearted. He gives strength to the weak and He gives power to the powerless. And I can't help but think this whole week that as I'm studying this, a lot of times when I study a message, a lot of times when I prepare a message, man, it hits me like a ton of bricks. And I'm like, God, I got to get this straight. I got to get my life right. I'm a wreck. There's no way I can preach this message before I've got to deal with it before I can deal it out. But this week, I don't feel like this message is like God telling me, son, you're in the valley, you need to get up. But God has broken my heart for people in this congregation that are in a valley. I don't know your name. I don't know your situation. I don't know your circumstance. But what I do know, that a lot of people are facing battles. I know a lot of people are facing bad situations at work. I know a lot of people are facing broken marriages. I know a lot of people are facing the parents that are getting divorced, health situations. I can go on and on and on. You may have got a bad report. I don't know what your wall of Jericho is. I don't know what your Red Sea is. I don't know what your hungry lion is. I don't know what the situation or the circumstance that's facing your life right now is. That's not for me to know. But what I do know is that God sent me here with a message, and He sent me here with a purpose. And that's to tell you that you are not alone. You're not alone. No matter what you're going through, you're not alone. No matter what you've been through, you're not alone. No matter what you're going to face tomorrow, you're not alone. Because God said, Jesus said, I'm the friend that sticks closer than a brother. There's nothing, neither height nor depth, nothing, no principalities, nothing can separate you from the love of God. There's absolutely nothing in this entire world, nothing under this world, nothing over this world. There is no power that can separate you from the love of Christ. And He cares for you. And He was the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb who went and sacrificed Himself on a cross for you. Like I said, I don't know what you're going through. But what I do know that enough is enough. Enough is enough. There's no sense in you fighting a battle that's already been, the war's already been waged, the war's already been won. Good news, everybody. I've read the end of the book, and our devil, he is a loser. He's a liar. I can't say enough bad things about him. He's terrible. But I am more than a conqueror. I'm a victor. You are a victor. I don't know what you're facing. But I feel like, obviously, if I got up here and preached this message, it's obvious that somebody in here is facing something. Brian, if you'll come play something, I'm going to come to a screeching halt. What I do know is tonight is your night. This is not my typical message. I feel like the last two or three times I've got up to preach, I've said this is not the way I normally preach. And maybe God is just shifting the way that I preach. I like old preacher me better than I like new preacher me. But this is the message for tonight. And this is how I was supposed to give the message for tonight. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You know, a lot of us carry around burdens. I got up here one time a couple of years ago and I carried a suitcase around the whole time I preached. And I just talked about carrying around luggage that it's just dragging you down. I got up here and the whole time I preached, I carried around a suitcase with me. A lot of us have baggage. A lot of us have burdens. I have baggage. I've got shadows. I've got brokenness in my life. There's no shame in my past because it is my past and the Son has set me free. I like Paul, I boast in my iniquities. I'm not necessarily proud of the shadows. I'm not necessarily proud of the pain. I'm not necessarily proud of the situations and circumstances. But I can boast in those things. All the junk, all the trash, all the baggage, all the garbage, all the junk. I can boast in that saying, you know what? God saw me through it. He brought me through it. Of all your worst days up to this moment, I know I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. Of all the worst days you've had up until this moment, God has brought you through every single one of them 100%. Then why? Why do we not think? Why do we not trust? Why do we not believe? Why do we not have faith to believe that He's going to bring us through the moment we're facing now? I faced some bad junk in my life. Stuff I didn't know how I was going to overcome. Stuff I didn't know if I could get through it. But I'm standing here today. You faced some bad stuff in your life, and this thing is no different. This is just a scheme of the enemy telling you you're not good enough, telling you that you've done too much, or your past is too big. You can say, you know, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what's happened to me. You don't know my story. I don't. You're right. I don't know your story. But He does. Because He was there even in the shadows. On the mountaintop. Lord, I love the mountaintop. I love the feeling of the mountaintop. I love being so high and feeling like I'm 10 feet tall and I'm walking on the clouds because God has brought me somewhere. I love being on the mountaintop. I feel like I get to have friendship with God on the mountaintop. But it's something about the valley. Something about the deep sweats where I get to know God. See, when I'm on the mountaintop, I read my Bible just because I want to feel good, or because I want to keep, you know, my relationship crisp and fresh with God. But when I'm in the valley, this is my meat. This is where I go for strength. This is where I go when I can't go any further, because I know the furthest I have to go is down to my knees. Some of you are fighting a battle that's not your battle. And I'm closing, if you guys will stand. One last set of scriptures, and it's in Matthew. I wish I could think of the scripture, but I'm going to paraphrase it. Talks about seeds being sown. Jesus is telling a story about seeds being sown. And the sower goes out and he sows seeds. Some of them fall on good ground, and those seeds sprout up life. There's been days, there's been moments in my life where it seems like the seeds of my life have sprouted up and birthed new life. And I relish those moments. I thank God for those moments. Then it says that the sower throws, and some of them go on shallow ground or rocky ground. And it says that those seeds are just immediately, you know, they don't ever do anything. They never have a chance to grow. They never have a chance to go anywhere. And though I don't like it, the disappointment in knowing that something that I wanted to happen never got off the ground, I can cope with. I can figure that out. But it says that there are some seeds that are thrown out among the thorns. And it says that those seeds start to grow. And as the small plant starts bubbling up and coming forth and springing forth life, it says that the thorns get around it and they choke it. I love being on the mountaintop. And I can handle the disappointment of dreams and hopes never lifting off the ground. But whenever I feel like I see something that's going to happen, and then all of a sudden it's choked out and it's taken away from me, that's the most disappointing and depressing moments of my life. Give it to God. Give it to God. Stop fighting the fight. Stop waging wars that you have no business fighting. Even in the shadows, God was there. Even in the shadows right now, God is there. He cares for you. He has plans for you. Hopes and future and prosperity. Not for harm, not for evil, but for good. God wants good stuff for you. I'm going to close in prayer. And as I do, if anybody feels the drawing or the conviction of the Spirit, I want to take the opportunity to pray with you. There's a heaviness tonight. There's a burden in my spirit tonight. My heart has literally hurt for 3 days, and it's not even about me. Give it to God. Don't take it any further from this moment. And as I pray, please come. God, I praise you. Because you're more than enough. You've always been there, God. No matter where I've been, no matter if I'm on the highest of highs or the lowest of lows, God, you've always been there. God, you are God no matter what situation I face. And God, you are good no matter what situation I face. You are my Savior. You are my provider. But most of all, God, you are my friend. And when I look around the world and I see nothing but heartache and I see nothing but disappointment, and God, I feel like the thorns of this life, they're just coming up and they're choking the life out of me. God, you're there. God, I worship you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, even in the shadows, you are. Even in the shadows, you were. And even in the shadows, you will be. I know that my past is rotten. And I know that sometimes today seems hard. And God, I know that tomorrow may be uncertain. But the one thing that I am certain of is that you are mine and I am yours. God, I pray over each and every person in this place, God, that they have a revelation tonight, God, that you are there and that you've always been there. God, you are the worthy Lamb, the righteous one slain for our sins and our transgressions, God, and that you're more than enough and that you're going to carry us, Lord, from this place to the next, God. I know that we've already come this far, but God, you are setting the ways before us. We are good people, and you said that you set forth the steps of a good person. Lord, we're going to follow you. We're going to let you lead us. And we're going to let you guide us, God. From this moment forward, God, there's going to be a difference in how we walk. There's going to be a difference in how we talk, God. I'm using this moment to prophesy over this congregation. Lord, that when the enemy comes and he tries to make them feel like they're not enough or that the situation is bigger than them, they'll say, yeah, the situation may be bigger than me, but it is not bigger than my God. And we're not going to give a magnifying glass to our problems, God, but we're going to magnify you, God, the one true King of Kings, the one who made the heaven and the earth, God, the one who's going to take us from this moment to the next, the one that will never leave us, never forsake us, and God, go with us all the way to the end of the way. Lord, it's all these things we pray and we ask so humbly in your name because we know that you care for us. Amen.